بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This is our third session from Arabic lessons in Hadith, المستوى الثالث, the third level from the Islamic University of Medina Arabic language program. And today, inshallah, we'll be looking at our third Hadith. And before we look at that Hadith, I just want to remind everyone and encourage every one of us to please take these hadith one by one and don't get behind. Yani try to memorize them. Every time we take a new hadith, try to memorize it. Or memorize it in advance, but don't memorize it late. And read the explanations and write out the exercises if possible. Write them out. After we do them orally in the class, write them out. And try to learn yani as much as you can about the hadith, vocabulary words, grammatical rules, and so on. Memorization is a very important part of this class. Please try to memorize, and please begin practicing writing out the hadith, writing them out from memory after you memorize it. Practice writing it out, and inshallah every week, and in the beginning of the class, before we start, or in the end, try to sit down and write out the hadith from the previous week and turn it in on a piece of paper. Okay, let's get started. The time is a little bit late. It looks like yani we'll be starting this class instead of at 12:45, we'll be starting at 1 o'clock. It's 1:06 right now, or something like that, or 1:08. I don't know, but we'll try to start the class immediately after the salat, as soon as we finish the prayer at 1 o'clock. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Okay, the hadith for today is on page 10, and the discussion of this hadith and its exercises follow on page 11 and the top of page 12. So let's turn to page 10. Al-hadithu al-thalithu, meaning? The third hadith. Al-thalithu means the third, yani from thalatha, three. And its title or its subject is fima uhilla. Yani look at the voweling here, there's no voweling there, right? Fima uhilla, yani with dhamma on the Hamza, Kasra underneath the Ha, and Shadda on the Lam. Uhilla. Fima uhilla minal maytati wad dami. Min al maytati wad dami. And uhilla, this form of the verb, is the passive form. That's why the voweling is a little bit different. Okay, so, and we'll look at that briefly in the discussion of this hadith. Okay, so the title of this hadith is Concerning What Has Been Made Lawful From the Dead, meaning that which dies of itself without being slaughtered, and from that which is from the category of blood, what is considered to be blood. The hadith an Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, on the authority of the son of Umar, yani his name is what?
Abdullah
ibn Umar. عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما, on the authority of Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with both of them, him and his father Umar. قال, he, Ibn Umar said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, يعني the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, أحلت لنا ميتتان ودمان. أحلت لنا ميتتان والدمان. يعني أحلت means something has been made lawful. لنا for us. What is it that has been made lawful for us? ميتتان, two dead things. يعني two things that are permissible even though they were not slaughtered. They died by themselves. So they have been made lawful for us. Two things that die by itself are lawful for us. وَالدَّمَانِ, yani two things that are considered to be blood, are also have been made lawful for us. أُحِلَّتْ لَنَا مَيْتَتَانِ, two things that die of itself, وَالدَّمَانِ, and two things that are considered blood. فَأَمَّا الْمَيْتَتَانِ, as for the two things that die of themselves, فَالْجَرَادُ وَالْحُوتُ, yani as for, meaning concerning those things, the two things that die by themselves, that have been made lawful, they are Al-Jaradu, locust, and Al-Hutu, fish. وَأَمَّا الدَّمَانِ, and as for the two things that are considered blood, فَاتِّحَالُ وَالْكَبِدُ. فَاتِّحَالُ وَالطَّا and ha, as in halal and haram. فَاتِّحَالُ وَالْكَبِدُ. As far as the two things that are considered from the category of blood, then they are التِّحَال, that is the spleen, and الْكَبِد, that is the liver. أخرجه أحمد وابن ماجة. They are collected by Al-Imam Ahmed and Al-Imam Ibn Majah رحمه الله. And I have written on the board here والبيحقي في السنن الكبرى, also collected by Al-Imam Al-Bayhaqi in his book السنن الكبرى. He has two famous books of hadith, more than two, but two of them that are very popular: the Sunan al-Kubra, the big book of Sunan, and the Sunan al-Sughra, the smaller book of Sunan. And then we'll talk about why we mentioned Al-Imam al-Bayhaqi here. Okay, let's go back and look at the hadith. Oh, you have a question, Moshe?
That's fish for stomach.
Yeah, okay, we'll come to that. This is another word, right? Another word for fish. Okay? Okay, back to the hadith again. An ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma. Huma, both of them. Yani on the authority of Ibn Umar, that is Abdullah ibn Umar. May Allah be pleased with him and his father. Qala, he said, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Uhillat lana maytatani wa damani. Yani two things that die of themselves and two things that are from the category of blood have been made lawful for us. Yani uhillat, we are not getting, knowing who is the one who made it lawful. It's not mentioned. That's why this form of the verb is used, the passive form, mabni lil majhul, because the one who is doing the action of making it lawful is not mentioned. Not mentioned. Uhillat lana maytatani wa damani. Two things have been made, two dead things have been made lawful for us, and two things from the category of blood. فَأَمَّا الْمَيْتَتَانِ. Now the explanation of what are those two things. فَالْجَرَادُ وَالْحُوتُ. Then they are the locust and fish. وَأَمَّا الدَّمَانِ. As far as the two things that are from the category of blood that have been made lawful for us. فَاتِّحَالُ وَالْكَبِدُ. Then they are the spleen and the liver. أَخْرَجَهُ أَحْمَدُ وَابْنُ مَاجَةَ. It is collected by Imam Ahmed and Imam Ibn Majah رحمه الله. And also we added وَالْبَيْحَقِ فِي السُّنَنِ الْكُبْرَى رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ. Okay. Any question about the wording of the hadith? The voweling, the meaning, or anything like that? The grammatical positions? Any question about the wording of the text of the hadith? Anything that's not clear? Okay, let's go on then to now explanation of it.
Two things
that die of themselves. The locust and fish.
And fish, that's two.
And two things that are considered from the category of blood, spleen and liver.
That's four things as well.
It is four things. But he said, "Uhillat lana maytatani waddamani." Two things that die of themselves and two things that are considered blood. So these two are the two things that die of themselves, and these are the two things that are considered from the category of blood. Yeah. Now,
I have a question about the grammatical the hadith. I know that generally when we have the verb before the subject is mufrad, but here we have muanna feminine. Is it because we have like jam'a four things, two you have four?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's one of the obvious reasons. That whenever you have a plural for غَيْرُ عَاقِلِ, then usually the feminine singular is used. Allahu A'lam. That's the apparent reason. Okay, let's look at the meaning of the words and the grammatical points and the rulings that are derived from this hadith and do the exercises. And then, inshallah, if we have some time, we want to go back to the introduction to ilm al-hadith that we never finished from the introduction. Right? We're going to get back to that. Okay? طيب. We're still on page 10. Ma'ani al-kalimat. What is the meaning of ma'ani al-kalimat?
The meanings.
Ma'ani is the plural of what?
Ma'ana.
Ma'ani, the meanings of al-kalimat. Al-kalimat is the plural of what? Al-kalimatu. Now, okay, so we have al-kalima here in one box, and then of course we have ma'anaha. Yani the word that we're going to explain, and then its meaning. Ma'anaha, its meaning. Okay, the first expression is ahallallahu ash-shay'a. The voweling in here, be careful, right? This is not the passive form. This is the active form. In the hadith, it came in the passive form, uhilla. And here it came, ahalla. That's the active form. Because the one who's doing the action is mentioned. Ahallallahu. Allah is the one who has made lawful. Yani this, if we use this expression, ahallallahu ash-shay'a, that means Allah has made something lawful. But the word ash-shay'a, it has shadda on the ya. It should have sukoon on the ya. And it should have shadda on the sheen. Yani because al shay, sheen is a sun letter. So you say ash shay. So the shadda should be on the sheen and sukoon should be on the ya. And the hamza at the end should have fatta because it's the what? Mafulun bi mansub wa alamatu nasbihi fatha. Ahallallahu ash shay'a. What is the meaning of this expression? Ahallallahu ash shay'a? Ja'alahu halalan. It means that Allah has made it halal, lawful, permissible. That's the meaning of ahallallahu shay'a, ja'alahu halalan. Wal mudari, the mudari from ahalla is yuhillu. Ahalla yuhillu. Yani this form of the verb is the fourth form of the mazid verb af'ala. Yani af'ala yuf'ilu. Af'ala yuf'ilu. Like adkhala yudkhilu. Ahalla yuhillu. Yani it means, yani dakhala means to enter, adkhala means to cause someone else to enter. So here the meaning of ahalla, to cause something, to make something lawful. Then only Allah has the right to do that. The mudari is yuhilla. Wal mabni lil majhul, yani the passive form of this verb ahalla is uhilla with dhamma and kasra. Uhilla. Yuhallu with dhamma and fatha. Uhilla, yuhallu. And this form of the verb is beyond our level at this point, except those who are in the advanced class. So don't worry about it. It's just yani a note. Just make a note of it. This is a special form. Uhilla, yuhallu. Yani the word ahalla, bidduhu harrama. Yani the word ahalla, bidduhu, its opposite is what? Harrama. Ahalla means to make something lawful. Harrama means to make something prohibited, haram. For example, you say, Naqulu ahallallahu lana kada wa harrama alayna kada. Notice the preposition after ahalla is different from the preposition after harrama. And this is important that you begin to pay attention to verbs that use prepositions. What preposition do you use with a particular verb? Alaykum salam. You can't use any preposition you want to use. You have to use the one that's correct in Arabic. And sometimes one verb may use more than one preposition to give different meanings. And if you use one preposition, it has one meaning. If you use a different preposition, it has a different meaning. Yani, for example, you say, Sallamahu. Sallamahu means what? He surrendered him. But sallama alayhi means he gave salams to him. He greeted him with salam. The same verb sallama, in one case is used without a preposition, another case is used with a preposition. So be careful how it is used. طيب, after this word, expression that they gave us, نَقُولُ أَحَلَّ أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ لَنَا, Allah has made lawful for us, كَذَا, yani meaning, such and such. Any such and such thing, without mentioning what it is. Kada. Wa harrama alayna, and he has made forbidden upon us, kada, such and such. Without mentioning whatever it is. This is how the expression is used. Okay, the next word is al-jaradu. Al-jaradu is a hasharatun. What is a hashara? Hasharatun. An insect. Hashara is an insect. Ma'rufa, that is well known. It is a known insect. Taghzu al-zara'a wal-asjara fata'kuluha wa tutlifuha. Yani this well-known insect, taghzu al-zara'a wal-asjara. Yani it invades or it attacks the crops and the trees. وتأكلها, and it eats them. وتتلفها, and it destroys them. What is this well-known? يعني حشرة الجراد, locust. Next word, الحوت. Here's your word, مرشد. الحوت. What does the meaning of الحوت? He said, I thought that fish was سمك. نعم. الحوت, its meaning is a سمك. الحوت, its meaning is السمك. يعني الحوت is a word that means fish, like سمك, means fish. الجمع حيتان, and the plural of حوت is حيتان. حيتان with ح as in حرام and حلال. حيتان, يعني the plural of حوت is حيتان. The next word, الكبد. عضو, يعني an organ, في الجانب الأيمن من البطن. An organ that is what?
In the right side.
Located in the right side of the stomach, button, the stomach. نعم. Okay, no problem. عضو means an organ, يعني a part of the body. في الجانب, in the side. الجانب means the side. الأيمن. الأيمن يعني the right, like يمين. الأيمن, the right side. من البطني, the right side of the stomach. بطني, the طا has سكون. با فتح طا سكون. من البطني. The next word, التحالو. What is التحالو? عضو, an organ, في الجانب الأيسري. يعني an organ in the left side. من البطني, on the left side of the stomach. What is التحال in English?
Spleen.
The spleen. نعم. طيب. That's the end of the words, right? After this, on page 11, the top of the page, معنى الحديث. معنى الحديث. The meaning of this hadith. What is the meaning of this hadith? In other words, the meaning of it is, حرم الله علينا الميتة والدم. يعني واستثنى من الميتة ميتة الجراد والحوت. الحوت واستثنى من جنس الدم الكبد والتحال. Okay, the meaning is what? The meaning of this hadith is that حرم الله علينا الميتة والدم. Allah has forbidden for us to eat things that die by itself. Generally speaking, that's the general rule. Something dies by itself, you can't eat it. يعني even if it was just a small animal or a big animal. Your lamb died by itself, you can't eat it. Your cow died by itself, can't eat it. It has to be slaughtered. So things that die by themselves of land animals, it's not, Allah has made them haram. And likewise blood, He's made it haram to consume blood. However, wastathna, but Allah has made an exception, min al-maytati, from those things that die of themselves. And that exception is what? Maytata al-jaradi wal-huti. Yani the locusts and the fish that die by themselves, without being killed or slaughtered. This is an exception from things that die by themselves. Wastathna min jinsi ad-dami. And he has also made an exception from that which comes under the category of blood. And that exception is al-kabid and al-tihal. Yani the liver and the spleen. That's the meaning of the hadith. Yani in other words, Allah has made these things generally. These two type categories of things. Things that die by animals that die by themselves. And blood, He made them haram. But He made an exception in both categories, two things. In each category He made an exception of two things. After this, ما يستفاد من الحديث من أحكام. يعني ما يستفاد, what may be benefited from the hadith من أحكام, of some of the rulings. أحكام is the plural of حكم. الحكم. What is it? Quickly.
Because here, for the matter, it says two things. But we know that in the water, it's more than this stomach. So, the stomach represents everything from the water.
No, it represents stomach. What's stomach? It represents stomach. Not everything in the water is stomach.
But
there are some animals in the water that are not stomach. Right, and they live in the water. That's different. He said, "Hot is stomach." And there are lots of kinds of stomach, but not everything in the water is stomach. No.
Yes, but it says here, may satam, two dead things.
No.
What I would like to say that it's more than two dead things. So
no, stomach is one thing. That's one thing. Even there's different types of stomach, but it's stomach. Mm. Yeah, and if he said birds, bird is one thing. There are different types of birds, but it's one thing.
What about the other animals in the water?
Like crabs? And
they are not exempted. They are not exempted. They are not exempted. Okay. Unless there's some special rule concerning them. Unless there's some special rule concerning them, other things are, unless they're considered fish. But we don't want to get stuck here. What is the biological, scientific definition of fish? Allahu A'lam.
But the first hadith, we know that fimai al-hillu maytatuhu.
Naam. Al-hillu maytatuhu, that means that the things that die in it, that's from it, is lawful. But there's difference of opinion amongst the scholars, does that include everything? And that's a lengthy discussion. Yani if we have time, maybe Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen has given a fatwa concerning this, about certain animals that live in the sea, and difference of opinion about it, but this is not really for our, this is not a fiqh class. This is really yani Arabic lessons in hadith. This is Arabic class, okay? So that's a different discussion. We don't want to get stuck there, because time is limited, and we want to try to finish. We want to try to finish, so that we don't get stuck and not finish the lesson. If we have time after, we can maybe look at some other details. Yani the important thing here is, ما يستفاد من الحديث من أحكام. What benefits do we get from this hadith? Yani maybe there are many أحكام from this hadith. But he said, من أحكام. Yani some of the legal rulings from this hadith, that which is most obvious. Number one, يجوز أكل ميتة الجراد والحوت. يجوز from جاء, يعني أجاز يجوز or جاز يجوز means what? It's permissible to eat the dead of جراد and حوت, يعني locust and fish. يعني the dead means here ميتة. When the word ميتة is used يعني without any definition or restriction, then in the Sharia it means that which dies of itself. Okay, it doesn't just mean something dead. It means that which died by itself. And it wasn't killed or slaughtered. So the locust and the fish that die of themselves are permissible. This one ruling. Second ruling, لا زكاتة للجراد والسمكي. يعني there's زكاة with the letter ذال. زكاة and ترمبوتة. زكاة means to slaughter the animal, to kill it. Okay? لا زكاة للجراد والسمك. يعني there's no يعني requirement. There's no legislation that requires that locusts and fish have to be slaughtered. Rather, if they died and you found it dead, you can eat it. The third ruling is يجوز أكل الكبد والتحال. يعني that is permissible to eat the liver and the spleen. So two of these rulings in reference to each of those categories. That it's permissible to eat that which dies of itself from locusts and fish, and it's also permissible to eat from the categories of blood, the liver and the spleen. And the third, or the second ruling in between them, is there's no need to slaughter the locusts or the fish. Now,
quick question. Does that mean besides the meat, you can only eat the liver and the spleen?
Liver and spleen is considered from the category of blood. Not every type of meat is considered category of blood. And even though there's some meat, it may have some traces of blood in it. That's not considered blood. But the liver and the spleen is considered blood because these are organs that process blood. So they're full of blood. They are basically blood. But other organs might have some trace of blood in it, but that's not considered blood. That's different. Okay, questions. Questions on page 11, middle of the page, as'ilatun. The questions related to this hadith. First question, قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أحلت لنا ميتتان ودمان. يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that two things that die of themselves and two things from the category of blood have been made lawful for us. فما هاتان الميتتان وهذان الدمان. So what are these two things that die of themselves and what are these two things from the category of blood? نعم, عبد الحق.
هاتان ميتتان الحوت والجراد.
نعم, those two, يعني in the feminine form, right? Said هاتان, feminine of what? هذه. هذان, a dual of, يعني the masculine, هذا. طيب, so he said that these two things that يعني have been made lawful from things of thy themselves is the jarad and the hoot. And what are these two? فماذا هذان الدمان؟ نعم مصطفى.
الكبد
والتحال. الكبد والتحال. نعم. Question number 2. اشرح هذا الحديث. يعني what does the meaning of اشرح?
Explain
this hadith. Somebody explain it to us. Somebody explain. تفضل.
الميت والدم واستثنى من الميت الميت الجراد وميت الحوت واستثنى من الدم من جنس الدم الكبد والتحال.
نعم, يعني the meaning of this hadith is what? That Allah has prohibited for us يعني things that die of themselves and blood, but he has exempted or accepted from that يعني the two things that die of themselves, the locust and the fish, and he has also made an exception from those things that are from the category of blood, that is the liver and the spleen. Question number 3. اذكر الأحكام المستفادة من هذا الحديث. Mention the legal rulings that may be derived from this hadith. Now, نعم جرادي وفتة والحوت. نعم, that is permissible to eat those things that die of themselves from, including the locust and the fish. Second ruling. نعم موسى.
لا زكاة الجراد والحوت.
والحوت. يعني it's not necessary to slaughter the locust and the fish in the third ruling. Anybody else over here? نعم مرشد. أكلو with سكون on the calf. أكلو.
أكلو القبد
والتحال. الكبد يعني أكلو الكبد والتحال يعني يجوز. طيب, after this, question number 4. أذكر معاني الكلمات الآتية. يعني what is the meaning of the question?
Explain the meaning.
Now mention the meanings of the following words. What is the meaning of ahalla? Ahalla. Anybody else? Huh? Now Nasir. Ahalla.
It was permitted to.
What is the meaning of ahalla? يعني أحل شيئاً. Meaning ماذا? جعله حلالا. To make it lawful. What is the meaning of الحوت? السمك. نعم. الكبد.
جانب الأيمن من البطن
يعني from the right side of the stomach. And التحال its meaning في الجانب أيسر من البطن. نعم, يعني organs on the right and left side of the stomach. Question number 5. ما ضد أحل. يعني what is the opposite of the verb أحل. نعم.
ضد
أحل. ضد أحل. أحل means حرام is a noun. Ahalla is a verb. We need a verb.
Harrama.
Harrama. We need a verb, right? Ahalla, harrama. Halal, haram. Now, we went verbs, right? Okay. Kawan, jumlatan, musta'amilan, fiha, ahalla, wa diddahu. What is the meaning of this question?
Make
a sentence?
Useful sentence.
Where is useful at? Musta'amilan.
Using.
Make a sentence using in it. Ahalla.
And its opposite.
Make a sentence using in it. Ahalla and its opposite. Somebody. Give us a sentence with both of them. One sentence using both words. Now.
حرم الله علينا الخمر
نعم
حرم الله علينا الخمر واحل لنا اللبن
واحل لنا اللبن نعم ما شاء الله جيد طيب number 6 هاتي جمع الدم والحوت two words the plural of الدم and الحوت what is the plural of الدم دماء okay and the plural of حوت هيتان هيتان yeah okay is it related to the question we just did
well it's a حوت you guys a حوت is fish but sometimes we use it for whale
طيب so a whale is a fish it's just a big fish no it's a big fish
Is
it considered a fish?
I mean, I know it's a fish.
Yeah.
But I'm saying the word itself is related more to the whale, the
hoot. I mean, it's general. It's general. Yeah, I mean, this hadith, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, al-hoot. He didn't mean the whale. He meant fish. It's general. Yeah. No, he meant fish. Okay, any case. I mean, it's used like that. But, I mean, it's general. It means fish in general. طيب number 7 أكمل العبارة الآتية بوضع كلمات مناسبة في الأماكن الخالية يعني what is the meaning of the instruction أكمل العبارة الآتية complete the عبارة what's an عبارة عبارة لا you mean إبرة يعني عبارة means an expression العبارة الآتية يعني there's an expression here يعني a long sentence complete it بوضعي by putting كلمات مناسبة suitable words في الأماكن الخالية in the empty spaces or in the blank spaces okay somebody read for us somebody read who didn't do anything today who didn't do any work today who didn't participate I'm looking on my right side over this side here. طيب somebody. Okay, guys, تفضل.
حرم الله علينا الميتة والدم واستثنى من الميت
من الميتة
من الميتة الميتة ال ال
Just put one word in it. One word in each blank.
Okay, الميتة السمك. الميتة الفوز.
Okay.
و No, I made
some food
wal
طيب finish
من الدم
الفتحاء والكبد نعم يعني he said حرم الله in the first blank space حرم علينا الميتة والدم يعني Allah has made forbidden for upon us that which dies of itself and blood things from the category of blood wastathna min almaytati and he made an exception from things that died of himself aljaradu walhutu or alhutu waljaradu no problem wastathna min addami and he made an exception from that which is considered from the category of blood attihal walkabid or alkabid wattihal Okay, before we go back to the introduction, since we have a few minutes left, I just want to go back to the hadith again. And I want to point out something that I failed to mention in the beginning. Came to my mind now when I was reading this sentence here. In this hadith, we have the wording, أُحِلَّتْ لَنَا مَيْتَتَانِ وَدَّمَانِ We're good from here. فَأَمَّا الْمَيْتَتَانِ فَالْجَرَادُ وَالْحُوتُ. These two words are underlined. The reason why they're underlined is because this wording, الْجَرَادُ وَالْحُوتُ, in this order, did not come in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad or the Sunan of Ibn Majah. It didn't come in that order. Rather, it came in the reverse order. Came in the reverse order. And the Musnad of Imam Ahmad came in the reverse order. Yani, it came in Musnad of Imam Ahmad, فَأَمَّا الْمَيْتَتَانِ فَالْحُوتُ وَالْجَرَادُ. Make a note of this, right? Then he said, وَأَمَّا الْدَمَانِ فَالْتِحَالُ وَالْكَبِدُ. In the Muslim Imam Ahmad, it came in the reverse order. فَالْكَبِدْ وَالْتِحَالُ. And that's why we added here on the bottom, وَالْبَيْحَقِ فِي السُنَنَ الْكُبْرَى. Because this word and in this order, it didn't come in Muslim Imam Ahmad. It didn't come in the Muslim, in the Sunan of Ibn Majah. Rather, it came in the Sunan al-Kubra of al-Bayhaqi. So the way we got the wording in the book came from Sunan al-Kubra of Imam al-Bayhaqi. So make a note, that wording is not from Ahmed, it's not from Ibn Majah, it's from al-Imam al-Bayhaqi. If you want to narrate it from Imam Ahmed, you have to reverse the words. That's the way it came in Imam Ahmed. So you want to memorize it like this, no problem, but attribute it to al-Imam al-Bayhaqi. Now, both of them.
And then down for
Naam, that's right. Al Hutu wal Jaradu. Wal Kabidu wal Tihalu. Opposite order. Okay? Fayb. After that, we want to go back to the introduction. We're going to go back to the introduction. Yani, the introduction of Yani, knowledge, science of Hadith. Muqaddimatun fi ilm al Hadith on page 3. And on page 3 we read the first point of the introduction to knowledge of hadith. And the first point was ma'na al-hadith, the meaning of the word hadith, the technical meaning of hadith. We read it, yani, 2 weeks ago.
No.
Does anybody remember what's the technical meaning of hadith without looking at the book? Technical meaning of hadith. As close as possible, even in English, no problem. Sayings and actions? It's physical description and character. That's close.
Actions that are approved.
Okay, the sayings and actions and approvals. And approvals. That's three categories of things of the Prophet ﷺ. And his sifat al-khalqiyya and his sifat al-khuluqiyya. Yani his physical characteristics and his moral character. This is how the scholars of hadith have defined the word hadith, and it is also used to define a sunnah. And then we explain what is the approvals of the Prophet, that which he approved of when he saw or came to know that people had done something, yani in his presence or outside of his presence, and he came to know of it. And we said that his yani awsaf al-khalqiyya means physical characteristics of the body, and khuluqiyya means moral characteristics like truthfulness and honesty and bravery and so on. Okay, the second point from this introduction, that's where we left off at 2 weeks ago. Point number 2, also on page 3 on the bottom of the page, fawaid ta'allum al-hadith. Fawaid ta'allumi al-hadith. What is the meaning?
Benefits
of ta'allum. Ta'allum is from the... It's not from allama yu'allimu, it's from ta'allama yata'allamu, the fifth form of the mazid verb. Ta'allum is the masdar from ta'allama nam, the benefits of learning. Yani ta'aleem is teaching, allama yu'allimu. Ta'allama is learning. From the benefits of learning hadith, from the benefits of learning hadith. لِدِرَاسَةِ الْحَدِيثِ فَوَائِدُ كَثِيرَةٌ منها.
Sorry, for the first point, I don't see sayings in the explanation of the meaning of hadith. Yes.
Okay, and the first point on the meaning of hadith that we discussed 2 weeks ago, it says al hadith. What is the meaning of hadith? Aqwalun Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa af'alu. Aqwal is the plural of qawl, sayings. Wa af'al, the plural of fi'l, actions. Wa taqrirat, the plural of taqrir, approvals. Okay? No problem. Barakallahu feekum. Okay, second point, fawaid ta'alimul hadith. At the bottom line of the page 3, لِدِرَاسَةِ الْحَدِيثِ فَوَائِدُ without tanween. Why is it doesn't have tanween? فَوَائِدُ Nope. كَثِيرَةٌ is a not. فَوَائِدُ كَثِيرَةٌ كَثِيرَةٌ has tanween. فَوَائِدُ مَفَائِل جَمْ تَكْسِير broken plural pattern يعني مفائل is ممنوع من الصرف للدراسة الحديث فوائد كثيرة يعني for the study of hadith there are many benefits منها from them يعني few of them from amongst them is number one الاقتداء برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في أقواله وأفعاله يعني the first benefit is الاقتداء يعني that a person will follow and take an example and use as a model the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when a person studies hadith they will have a model they will know how the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam acted and what he said and they will be able to take him as a model iqtida'u yani iqtida'u bi rasulillah means taking the messenger of Allah as a model to be followed yani fi aqwalihi wa af'alihi in his speech and in his actions and this is understood it's not mentioned here from the Quran third surah 31st ayat and kuntum tuhibbun Allah fattabi'uni if you love Allah then follow me from studying hadith you learn how to follow the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam you know what he said what he did what he approved of you know about him his character his life and everything so you can follow it that's tremendous benefit if there were no other benefits than that it would be sufficient huh we'll be able to follow the prophet other people sallallahu alaihi wasallam they say they love him But we don't see them acting like him. Maybe because they don't know how he acted. We'll give them the benefit of the doubt. They just didn't know. Some people they know and they still don't do it. Second benefit from studying hadith. Al-qudratu ala istikhraj al-ahkam al-shara'iyya bi-adillatiha min as-sunnah. Al-qudra means what? Ability. The ability, the capacity, or the skill, huh? Al-Qudra, having the ability, al-istikhraj, to derive. Al-Ahkam al-Shara'iyya, legal rulings from the Sharia. Bi-adillatiha min as-Sunnah. Deriving those rulings, what? Deriving those legal rulings based upon their evidences from the Sunnah. Huh? Not like you read a fiqh book and they said do this and don't do that. This is forbidden and this is obligatory. Based on what? I don't know. It's just like that in the book. No. What is the evidence? When you study hadith, you know the adilla. You have the ruling and the evidence for it from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a tremendous benefit. Most of the people who are doing something, they don't know why they're doing it. That's the way we did it in our country. That's in our madhab. That's what my sheikh said. I don't know. What's the proof? We just do it like that. We don't have time. But this morning a brother called the adhan in the masjid. He wasn't the regular muadhan. The muadhan was late. And he didn't say, As-salatu khayrun min an-nawm. And there was almost an uproar. You have to do it over. You got to do that again. Can't do it again. Somebody said, it's okay. And a brother said, how it's okay? It's okay. Naam, it's okay. Because it's not from the sunnah to say as-salatu khayrun min an-nawm in the adhan of fajr. It's sunnah to say it in the first adhan, the adhan before fajr. Naam. The sunnah is there are two adhans for fajr. And the first adhan, as-salatu khayrun min an-nawm. And the second adhan at time of fajr is no as-salatu khayrun min an-nawm. So what he did by accident was really the sunnah. Allahu musta'an. He didn't know. He just made a mistake.
No, I'm talking about the brother who said, no, it's okay. Did he explain it like that?
No, he didn't explain anything. He was just saying, leave it. It's okay. Don't worry. But the brother who called that, then came to me after and said, do I have to call it again? I told him, no. Why do you have to call it again? Already now you're upon the sunnah. You want to go now to something else? Leave it. Anyway, one brother, he said, wow. He heard me telling that brother, he said, wow, in my country, we used to have two adhans like that. And I used to think they were wrong in my country. Because I came here, I saw they are not doing it. So I thought the people in my country is wrong. I said, no, the people in your country is right. The people here are wrong. Third benefit from studying the Sunnah, as we're running out of time, Al-Qudra. Again, the ability, ala nutqi, to pronounce, yani to speak, bil kalami al-arabi as-salim. Yani you will gain the ability to speak with correct Arabic language, sound Arabic language. Al-kalam al-arabi, Arabic speech, as-salim, that is correct, that's sound, proper Arabic language. Because you will use the expressions of the Prophet ﷺ, and he was the most eloquent of the people of Arabic language. And the final benefit, al-itla'u ala jawami al-kalimi allati utiha nabiyuna Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-itla' means what? Ittala'a yattali'u, to come to know, to come become aware of, to come to become acquainted with something, right? Al-itla' you become acquainted with, you will come to know about jawami al-kalim. Jawami al-Kalim, what is the meaning of this word? Yani the Prophet ﷺ said he was given Jawami al-Kalim. What is the meaning of this? Comprehensive speech, meaning that he can say in a few words something that has a great meaning. A lot of meaning, maybe they'll write a whole book and what from one sentence that he gave. Comprehensive speech, meaning few words, great meaning. Yani you become acquainted with the comprehensive speech التي أوتيها نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, that was given to our Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. And we're going to stop here, and next week inshallah we're going to try to come back to the introduction to the knowledge of hadith. And the third point will be منزلة السنة من الكتاب, yani what is the station or status of the sunnah in reference to the book, the Quran, yani what is the relation between the two of them. Okay, before we close, we're going to look at next week's hadith. Hadith number 4, Al-Hadith al-Rabi, on page 12. Just quickly, as we close out. Hadith number 12, number 4, on page 12. في حكم الأكل في آنيتي أهل الكتاب. يعني concerning the legal ruling of eating in the containers or utensils, the eating utensils of the people of the book. What is the ruling concerning eating in the yani utensils, the eating or drinking utensils of the people of the book? This hadith is an Abi Sa'labata al-Khushani radiyallahu anhu qal qultu ya Rasulallah صلى الله عليه وسلم إن بأرض قوم أهل كتاب كتاب should have شدة تنوين كسرتين أهل كتاب أفنأكل في آنيتهم قال لا تأكلوا فيها إلا ألا تجدوا غيرها فاغسلوها وَكُلُوا فِيهَا مُتَّفَكٌ عَلَيْهِ يعني مُتَّفَكٌ عَلَيْهِ with shadda on the ta مُتَّفَكٌ عَلَيْهِ agreed upon. Okay, the hadith عن أبي ثعلبة الخشني on the authority of أبي ثعلبة الخشني رضي الله عنه, may Allah be pleased with him, قال, he said قلت يا رسول الله, I said, O Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, inna yani inna nahnu inna verily we are bi ardi qawmin in the land of a people, which people? Ahli kitabin, from the people of the book. We're in a land, we live in the land with these people or near these people, we're coming in contact with them. Afana'kulu fi aniyatihim, shall we eat in their eating and drinking, eat or drink out of their eating and drinking utensils? Yani, they want to know, is it permissible? قَالَ لَا تَأْكُلُوا فِيهَا لَا تَأْكُلُوا فِيهَا plural. You all, everyone, do not eat in their utensils. إِلَّا except and لا تجدوا غيرها. يعني you didn't find anything else to eat from or to drink from. In that case, then فغسلوها. Then wash those utensils. وكلوا فيها. And then eat in them. متفق عليه. And we're going to stop here with this. Next week, inshallah, we'll discuss it in detail. This wording of the hadith is not the exact wording that came in Bukhari and Muslim. But it is the wording that most of the scholars mentioned it with. In the books of hadith, most of the books mention it with this wording, even though it didn't come with this exact wording, the same meaning, but not the exact wording, not in Bukhari nor Muslim. And Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, mentions in Irwa al-Ghalil, that this wording he didn't find in the source that it is attributed to, but there are some wording in Bukhari very close to this, and there are wording in other books of hadith that are close to it, almost the same. In any case, yani we'll take the meaning as it came here, yani under the permission of narrating by meaning. Yani as long as there's no change in the meaning, we didn't come up with this meaning, rather the scholars of hadith, that's how they narrated it. Yani Shaykh Ibn Baz mentioned the hadith with this meaning, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen mentioned the hadith with this meaning, and Subul As-Salam, Al-Imam As-San'ani mentioned it with this meaning, and other scholars in the explanation of At-Tirmidhi, Al-Mubarak 40, he mentioned it with this meaning. This is the meaning that is commonly used, although it's not the exact wording from either Al-Bukhari or Muslim. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I just wanted to alert you to that. يعني الرواية بالمعنى, narrating by meaning. يعني some of the scholars of hadith used to narrate the hadith by meaning, but there are conditions for that. Not everybody can do such. So يعني some of them, they said that it's permissible, and some said that it's not permissible, but those who said it's permissible, then they gave conditions for it. Okay, some of the scholars, like Imam Bukhari, for example, he would travel and he would go to a land and he would memorize hadith from the sheikhs that he met there, maybe 100 hadith, 200 hadith, 300 hadith. And sometimes they didn't write them down, he just memorized them. And sometimes they would then narrate them by meaning, yani with maybe not the exact word. Like this hadith came, yani al-jarad wal-hut. In another hadith came hut wal-jarad. The meaning is the same, there's no difference in the meaning. Sometimes though, if you rearrange the order of the words, it could change the meaning. But here it doesn't change the meaning, because the meaning here is this and that. And while al-atif doesn't mean either one came first, so it doesn't matter if you mention one before the other. So these are the kind of things that only the person who's a scholar of Arabic language can narrate by meaning and be safe. But as for us, yani, we will follow what they have conveyed to us. We're not going to narrate by meaning, which is our common rule, right? In America, when we narrate hadith, we say, I read a hadith, the meaning of it is something like this. And sometimes it's way off. It's not even close to the meaning. We don't want to get into that, right? We don't want to get into that. We have to be careful of that. Because maybe we fall into the threat of punishment of the person who the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever lies on me intentionally, then let him take his seat in the hellfire.